Each and every one of us have a calling. Is everybody alive here in this room? Okay, we're breathing. All right, we belong to Jesus. All right, we all have a calling.
Welcome to Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
It's open to Ephesians chapter 4, and we will dive into God's Word. If you need a Bible, just raise your hand, and we will... They will be glad to give one to you today. As you see on the screen, today we are looking at six verses only, but we are to be walk worthy of our calling. Each and every one of us have a calling. Is everybody alive here in this room?
Yes.
Okay, we're breathing.
Yes.
All right, we belong to Jesus. All right, we all have a calling. Now, our calling can be in the midst of what we do for a living, can be in the midst of how we support our family. It can be in so many different things. But we have a calling that God has placed upon us. One could say, well, I am called to be, married to a man. And I am with my children there in home all the time. I'm not necessarily out in the world doing business or any of that. What a great calling. What a wonderful calling. And you are to walk in that calling. Some here may be retired. And in that retirement, God has a calling for you. As long as we're breathing, I believe that God has a calling. Sometimes it's hard to recognize it. It's hard to find it. But the calling is there. Today, there were those that were called to stand at the door to greet you when you came in. Different ways are calling, different ways that God wants to use us. Sometimes people think, okay, since I'm not doing this or I'm not a missionary, I'm not doing this, I don't have a calling. I want to erase that from our minds today because there is a calling. Each day we wake up, we get on our knees and we bow before the Lord, and we might repeat Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, that we surrender our life to the Lord. We simply come before Him as our attitude of worship and say, God, you have everything. And we're beginning our calling for that specific day at that moment, that we would not be conformed to this world, but we would be transformed by the renewing our minds into that good and acceptable and perfect will that He has for our lives today. And so there's a calling on our lives. Paul was aware of that. He spent three chapters now. You guys have been going through this. We spent three chapters talking about the wealth of the believer. Now, he begins here, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 4, all the way through to chapter 6, verse 9. He's speaking about the walk of the Christian believer. He's getting very specific. Because you have all of these blessings, because God has done all of this for you in Christ Jesus, then there is a privilege. We have a responsibility. You know, we don't have to do anything, I don't feel, but we get to do everything. We get to do what God would have, fulfilling this calling that we have on our lives. And so the walk of the Christian believer is what Paul is pointing out. Up to this point, and we'll have this on the screen here, I've just picked out six things that we've seen in chapters 1 through 3, the eternal plan of God for Christian believers. We've looked at that. We've studied that. The second thing, the great blessings of God. We've looked at that as we've gone through these three chapters. The knowledge and power of God, we spent some time looking at that too. The work, number 4, of God's mercy and the gift of God's grace, which is our salvation. We've spoken about that. Reconciliation and peace. And then we closed out chapter 3 by looking at the church, the new body of people of God, as we are created to be the citizens there in heaven. And so we are here on earth, but yet our citizenship, as Scripture tells us, is in heaven. We owe God a lot, do we not? He has done so much to us. He's provided, and you'll see these here on the screen too, the ideal and perfect righteousness for us. He has provided that. He's provided a substitute to die for us. Who is that person, that substitute? Jesus. God himself came into this world for you and I. He's provided, as we've gone through Ephesians thus far, number three, we've seen that he's provided deliverance from death for us through the reconciliation of Christ, deliverance from death. He's provided a new life for us, a brand new life, and he's provided an absolute assurance of living eternally with God forever and ever. How long is forever and ever? It's a long time. Forever and ever. That's what we've studied, and what a blessing that we have. And he's provided so much more that even an eternity could not describe it. Couldn't describe it at all. I found a quote I'd like to share with you just for a moment. I couldn't find who made this quote, but I really liked it. God has honored us, you and I, as much as a creature, can be honored. God has honored us, you and I, as much as a creature can be honored. He has seated us with Christ in the heavenlies to rule and reign with Christ forever and ever. God has done so much for us that he could do no more than what he has done. We do not see it all yet, for we are still on this earth. We are left here to be witnesses to the great and glorious salvation that is found in Christ Jesus. But the day is soon coming when we will experience all of it. It's coming very soon. God is going to make a new heaven and a new earth that will be perfect, in which there will be no suffering and death, and we shall live eternally, ruling and reigning with Christ. Anybody ready? Do we believe that? Because that is a hope that we have today. This quote goes on and says this, simply stated, we owe God. We owe God so much that we could never even begin to pay him. What then can we do? He asked this question. Very little, but there is one thing we must do. We can do very little, but there is one thing we must do. We must walk worthy of our calling. We get that privilege to do that, whatever that is. That's why I entitled this, we are to walk worthy of our calling. We must walk worthy of the honored position in which God has exalted you and I. He's given us tremendous privilege, tremendous position. We will live with God forever and ever. And so let's look here at verses 1 through 3, or 1 through 6. There's three points that I want to point out. The first point is found in verse 1 through 2, the way to walk worthy of our calling. If we're to walk worthy of our calling, what does that look like? And Paul gives us some of those things that we are to understand. I, therefore, he says, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. And so you see on the screen there, that's the first point. We're going to come back to that. The second point that we are going to look at here is the purpose for us walking worthy. It has a purpose. Why should we walk worthy? Look at verse 3. Endeavoring, and this is the heart of this passage here, and as it continues on, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know, there's a lot of things that can divide us in our marriages, with those that we work with, that those we go to school with, those in our neighborhood. There's a lot of things between us right here today. There is a lot of stuff that can divide us, and the enemy wants to do that. He truly wants to do it. He'll come in there and he'll just present a lie in our minds about another person. And all of a sudden that grows and it manifests itself into action. But there's nothing that is there whatsoever. He'll divide between nations. Anybody seeing that across the world today? He divides any way that he can with political parties. He does many things to destroy. And so we see today that we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We will come back to that. And the third point we'll look at very briefly It's broken down into seven reasons why we should walk worthy of our calling and why we should do that. Notice verse 4. Why? Because there is one body, number one. Why? Because number two, there is one spirit. Why? Because just as you were called in one hope of your calling, number three. Why? Number four, there's one Lord. Not why? Number five, there's one faith. Why? Number six, there's only one baptism. And why, number seven, one God, there's one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. You and I have the same Father. You and I have the same Lord. You and I have the same Holy Spirit, the person that we find that dwells inside of you and I. That's why we can go across the world and meet with people, and there's a unity, there's a bond between. And that's why he says, look at verse 3 again, we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It's a powerful thing. So again, back to verse 1, I therefore, the what? The prisoner of the Lord. He wasn't the prisoner of Nero. He wasn't the prisoner of any person. He was the prisoner of the Lord. God was totally in charge of his life. Today, is God in charge of your life? I was kind of looking for an answer on that. Yeah, just a little one, just looking for a little answer on that, okay? Then he's in control of our lives. He's in control of our lives. We are prisoners to him at that in that way. I put your name in there, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. In other words, he pleads, Paul pleads, he begs us, he appeals to us, he exhorts us to walk worthy. Walk means literally to lead a life. That's all he's saying. We are to live our lives in such a way. Now, yesterday we were down at the community safety day here in Lawrence. And it's a great day. You know, if you've never attended it, next year maybe you might want to do it. It's a great day. But we had two people from our church doing face painting. You know, we had a lot of different things going on, but they were doing face painting and all. And I just kind of had an opportunity to slow down a little bit yesterday from walking around and just sitting there and watching that. And I just looking at the talent. Have you ever tried to paint a face? It's not easy. You know, I would get, but I'm just watching. They go here, and they go there, and they go there, and they do this, and they do that, and they switch over from this brush to that brush and all that. And all of a sudden, there's just this little wonderful tapestry right there in front. And then they get this mirror, and they put the mirror out in front of the little kids, and, you know, and they look at it, and they go, ah, you know, they're so excited, you know. Can we serve Christ that way? We can. It's a beautiful thing. Paul was a prisoner of the Lord. He begs us to walk, to lead such a life that is worthy. This carries the idea of being the equivalent of another thing. Listen to that again. It carries the idea of one being the equivalent of another thing. In other words, a Christian's practice of life should weigh as much as or be equivalent to his profession of mouth. What do we profess? What do we say who we are? How do we say that to other people? What is it? And the equivalent of that would be how we walk our lives. We are to walk worthy of our calling. We have a number of police officers that walk in our fellowship. That is a challenging walk, is it not? Yesterday I was called as a chaplain to a situation where unfortunately a person was murdered. Sad. Just sad. And watching the officers and all that and the detectives coming on the scene and trying to figure this out and figure that out and all that was there. And it's just amazing what they do. But their life are at risk. And all of a sudden it just blew up in a sense. There were all these friends of this person that had gotten killed there. And then they're going crazy and they're going crazy. And live PD was there filming everything and all that. And I just saw the police officers not running away from, but where? Running to. And I thought, I'm just going to stand back here. It's safer back here. You know, it really is at this point. And that, but you know, they have to walk worthy of their calling. It's important. If they didn't, then all chaos would break out, would it not? I've talked to many police officers, and often I hear this expression, we rule by permission. When they go into a situation, they're always outnumbered. They were outnumbered last night. They're outnumbered. And so they rule by permission, but they have to walk worthy of that profession. They have to walk worthy of that calling. And it's just as important for you and I. Life and death, we can see that example for police officers and firemen, and we can understand that. That makes sense. But do we understand it's just as important that we walk worthy of the call that God has on our life? We have no time to just sit back in a corner. We truly don't. Whatever it is, God, I'm not trying to put pressure. I'm not trying to make people feel guilty. None of that. But, you know, do we believe that Jesus is coming back soon? Okay. Are there people that need to give their hearts to Jesus Christ? Yeah. Yeah. I went as a chaplain last night. I got called to go and tell the mom whose son had passed that this had happened. And just to watch her expression just broke my heart, truly broke my heart. And so walking in that calling, it was difficult last night. I didn't know what to say. I didn't want to tell her. When you see a chaplain and a police officer at the door, what do you expect? The worst. And then it was the worst day of her life. She had no other child. And then that's what she experienced. And then she just looked at me and, what do I do? What do I do? And so today, as Christians, I pray that we pray for that mom. And I pray that we understand the battle is real. The battle is real. How can we walk as a believer in a worthy way? Paul lays it out there beginning in verse 2. With all lowliness. Notice, with all lowliness. That's another way of saying humility. Unfortunately, some people are just going to strive with others no matter where, what happens. They are not mature in the Lord, not yet. Therefore, they give in to talking about differences. Today, as Christians, do we talk about differences to other people? We go up and our best prayer partner. This is our prayer partner. I must be able to share everything. Well, yeah, we can share, but do we need to share everything? We have to be careful. We talk about differences, and that becomes the issue. How about desiring for position? Sometimes we desire position. It's a dangerous thing. We love flattery. We have to be careful of that. That's what Paul's saying. We are to have a lowly heart, a heart of humility, not a jealous heart, not a heart that desires recognition, not a desire, not a heart that is envious in any way. That's what he's speaking of. If they do not get their way, these people, or what they want, they strive against the church or other members. The result is disunity and divisiveness, one of the most terrible crimes within the church of God. It truly is. It's divided. How many churches are divided? You see that. Who gets hurt when leadership divides a church? The people. The people. That's why we strive so much we can to be have a humble heart before the Lord. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves, Paul the Apostle said. The second thing we see in this verse here is gentleness or meekness. Again, kind of close to meaning humility. It's a state of mind. This does not mean the person is weak or cowardly. Actually, it's a strength. When a person there has gentleness, it's meekness, gentleness under control. The meek person simply loves people and loves peace. Therefore, he or she walks humbly among men, regardless of their status or their circumstance of life. How are we to walk? In lowliness. How are we to walk? In gentleness. How are we to walk? What's it say? Number 3, long suffering. How many like this one? Now, some of you guys have long suffered. You've been with me 30 years. Okay, some have been less than that. Consider yourself blessed in that way. Yoo-hoo. Who said yoo-hoo? David. Yeah, in that way. Long-suffering means patience. We are to be patient with people. We are to bear and suffer a long time with others, with their little things of life that just set us crazy. We are to persevere. We are to be constant, steadfast. We are to endure. Long-suffering never gives in. It never is broken, no matter what or who attacks you. It's that long-suffering. Keeps us coming back. Keep us coming back. Now, we might get patient, but we come back. Anybody ever have kids you get tired of? You know? You're like, I can't believe that they just did that. Do you come back and love them? Yeah, it's like that little puppy, you know. It just, you know, sometimes we get rude and crude with our puppies, and what do? They just come back to us. We just love them. This is what it's talking about. Long-suffering. We are to be long-suffering. Paul goes on and says, we are to bear with others in love. This is a forbearance. It's a social virtue. It expresses the ability to be patient with the weaknesses of other people. Anybody here would admit by show of hands that you have weaknesses? Okay, now, this is being filmed, and I'm going to hold this against you guys. I really am. We have weaknesses, do we not? We do, right? Everybody with me? Does the person next to us, sitting next to us, do they have weaknesses? Some say no. Some don't dare say anything. You know, careful. They're listening, you know, and all that way. It's, you know, we are to be a person that bears with other, expressing the ability to be patient with the weaknesses of others. Look on the screen. Paul's put it this way in Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. He says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Yay, praise the Lord. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity of the flesh. Oh, golly. But through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. See that? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. And so Paul's saying, this is what we are to do. This is truly very important for us. The purpose of us walking worthy. Again, endeavoring, it's described right there, to walk worthy of our calling, that is described right there in verses 1 and 2. And then the second point, the purpose for walking worthy, it's real simple. Right there, again, I pointed out verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The purpose for the believer is to walk a worthy life, and it's simple. As it's stated here, it is to keep unity, oneness, and peace with the body of Christ. Jesus Christ has broken down all walls and barriers. Thus, everyone can now be saved and walk in a unified with others. We are all brothers and sisters heading the same way, up to be with the Lord someday forever and ever. So we are to be patient. There is to be a bond of peace, as Paul says there. All divisiveness, all differences, all prejudices are set aside, and a spirit of love, peace, and unity exists between us. Endeavoring speaks of being diligent. It's a constant going on, continuing on. Sometimes we do better at it than others, right? But we are to come back, continue to be that way. In 2 Corinthians 13, 11, it'll be on the screen. Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. So two purposes that we have, and then the last thing we'll close with here, simply the third point, seven basic reasons why we should walk worthy of our calling. Look for the word one. Let's read it again, verses 4 through 6. Why? There's one body. Why? That we see there is because there's one Spirit. Why? Just as you were called in one hope of your calling. Why? There's only one Lord. Why? There's just one faith. Why? There's one baptism. Why? Because there's one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. It's real simple, but yet challenging. There is one body. There are not two bodies or several bodies of believer. There is only one. Amen? In our city today, there's many people worshiping the Lord in other churches. Praise the Lord. Lord, bless them. I'm glad that you guys are here. I hope that and pray that you, if you like, you just stay here. This is your body, what you want to do. But there's other people, and we are to rejoice that there is other people. We have different denominations where the believers gather, but God has created only one body of Christ. There is one Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit that dwells within everyone. And so we are to rejoice in that. There is one hope of our calling. Every genuine believer has the same hope. It's the great day of redemption. As I said earlier, we're going to be with the Lord forever and ever. Amen? Is he coming today? Hope so. I heard hope. Okay. Hope so. Be nice if he came today. I believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. Some people believe in the post-tribulation rapture. Some believe in the midterm rapture. Okay, believe whatever you want to believe. But when we're going up in the pre-trib, I'm going to look over at you and say, told you so. Told you so. And you're going to be going, glad you were right, Bill. Glad you were right. I don't care. Just come, Jesus, right? Just come. And I believe he could come at any time. There's one hope of our calling. One hope. Life in the new heaven and earth will be a life of love and joy and peace, a life of oneness and unity and brotherhood, all perfected. So why would we not live that life now here on earth? Because that's what it's going to be like. And that's what he challenges us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. Look at that on the screen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a lively hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance which is incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for, put your name there. It's reserved in heaven for you and for me. Can't wait. It's beyond anything that we can imagine. It truly is. And why? There is only one Lord, Paul says. There's only one master and king. Every believer bows before the same Lord to become his subject and to receive his orders. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 and 11. Look at this on the screen. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him, Jesus, the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. One Lord, right? One Lord. That's why there should be unity within the church. And fifth, there is only one faith. There's only one faith. There truly is. The world says it's this broad. Jesus says it's this narrow. There's only one. There truly is. All these roads lead to bondage. This road leads to freedom, being set free. Aren't you happy that you know the truth? That is no small thing. You guys realize that, don't we? We forget that sometimes. It's no small thing that you and I believe the truth. Outside of here, there's multitudes and multitudes, according to Joel, in the valley of decision. Multitudes. I saw it last night again. Multitudes in the midst of decision. Will they accept Jesus Christ or will they not? I've been at the deathbed of those that know Jesus, and I've been at the deathbed of people that don't know Jesus. I'll tell you one thing. There's a world of difference. World of difference. There truly is. There's something about a person that leaves this world that's going to be with Jesus. And praise the Lord for that. But there's something about a person that doesn't know the Lord, when they leave this world, that scares me deeply. We have one Lord. Every knee shall bow. There is only one faith. Therefore, standing before God and having come to him through the same faith, there is no room for differences. We all stand on the same ground, on the same level, the ground and level of faith. It's the same area. And then sixth, we see there is one baptism. You know, there's the baptism in water. There's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. There's the baptism into suffering. Paul's not talking about that. He's saying there's one baptism into the body of Christ. You notice contextually, that's what he's teaching, to be unified within the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, 13, Paul says, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into the body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Lastly, there it is. Notice in verse 6, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. God is the creator of everything. The Father, God is the one that we love and worship. God controls all things. The point is simple. It is this. There is only one God and Father of all believers. How could there then be a leading between two believers to stand toe-to-toe against each other and divide a family, divide anything? We are to learn to humble ourselves, to walk in the unity of the faith and bring that and strive for that. Romans tells us, if it's at all possible, as much as within us, live peaceably with just the people we choose to live peaceably with. Did that not sound right? Oh, it didn't sound right. What's it say? If it's at all possible, as much is within us to live peaceably with all people. Isn't that amazing? All people. It's a beautiful thing that we see. So 3 points. Number one, we have seen to walk, the way to walk worthy of our calling. 2, the purpose for walking worthy. And 3, 7 basic reasons why we should walk worthy of our calling. Paul just puts that down there. And I have a question for us today. Are we walking worthy of our calling today? You know, it's a beautiful calling, not to make a person feel condemned, but yet convicted. Are we walking in the fullness of God, what God has for each and every one of us? If not, why not? Why would we limit what God wants to do in our lives? We have the Holy Spirit. Jesus has completed everything. We have a loving Heavenly Father. And we see that Jesus and the Holy Spirit intercede. I was reading last night in Scripture, looking at that. They both intercede for us. What more could we want? It's an amazing thing. We will find ourselves in situations that are beyond what we think we can do. When we just simply step into it, it's part of our calling. And we say, Lord, I'm going to walk in it. I choose to trust you. I choose to allow you to empower me. I choose to allow you to use me to be a blessing to other people. We all have a calling. Amen? We have a choice to walk worthy in the midst of it.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word.
Journey through the Word.
Today's programs are sponsored by Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis. This 2-year, 24/7 discipleship process challenges students to allow God to take hold of their hearts through the daily, in-depth study of God's Word, servant leadership, local ministry, and international mission experience. You may contact Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis by calling 317-823-2349. Thanks to Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis for their support of Christian Radio.
CCBCI at ccbci.org.